Brother Walden told me last week when I visited with him, I still got a little ring here, Brother Campbell, that Lord willing, he and his wife would be here, but this is not his wife. And we're glad to have Brother Don Mercer with us, and he's a man of God, being mightily used of God also. And Sister Walden stayed to do some office work this week, and they're moving their tent to another state to have a camp meeting. And we feel honored to have these men of God with us tonight. If you need something from God, you just get your mind on the Lord and let the Lord have His way. And right now, it's my privilege to turn the service over to Brother Mercer, and then whatever he wants to do from there, be between him and the Lord. Brother Mercer, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Certainly glad to be here tonight. Amen. I love the state of Louisiana. Been preaching in it for about 4 years now. It's a privilege to be here in Monroe. God is fixing to do something in this city.
Yes, sir.
We was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Lord showed me a vision of Monroe, Louisiana. And I come in and rode up and down all these streets. Hallelujah. Just rode in my automobile up and down these streets. Parked a travel trailer in this city, and I looked this city over. I just wondered what God's going to do. Met a few preachers in this city. I said, now, Lord, I wonder what you're going to do. You showed me that you're going to do something in Monroe, Louisiana. Well, a few days ago, Brother Franklin called me and said, we're going to Monroe, Louisiana. And so that thrilled my heart and my soul.
Hallelujah.
I'm here to see what God's going to do.
Yes.
I'm here to get some of it myself.
Yes.
Amen. So it's a privilege to be here. If you're here in this service tonight, you need help from God. You're every Christian after the shout's over, after you've been filled with the Holy Ghost a while, you realize that you need something. In your life, there comes a hunger. And sometimes we don't know what for. We pray and we read the Bible. Sometimes we can't pray and we can't read the Bible. But there's a desire that comes in us. We want to get closer to God. So you people are going to be privileged this week to hear Brother Franklin Walden. He's a preacher's preacher. You hear him preach one message. A few weeks ago, I listened to him preach, and out of one message that he preached, I got five messages out of one message that he preached. Amen. And talking about miracles. I know you read about miracles. You've seen the signs that the blind see, the lame walk. You went there and you didn't see nothing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you here in this service tonight, you need to start expecting your miracle. Have what you need.
Hallelujah.
You need a miracle. Just in Thomaston, Georgia, a few weeks ago, a little boy had twisted ankles and he was almost mentally retarded and hard of hearing. Brother Franklin, his mother brought him up and he prayed for him. She took him on home. And her testimony is, and she's my sister-in-law, he was laying on the bed there and she looked at his little feet and they were straight. Before, she always had to holler at him. Anything, she just had to holler. He couldn't hear. It's hard to hear. Had tubes put in his ears, but it still was hard to hear him. And since that day, he says, now Mama says, I don't have to say huh. I don't have to say huh no more when somebody speaks to me. I don't have to say huh. Ever what you need, it's here tonight because Jesus is here.
Yes.
There's nothing that's too hard for God. I meet many preachers across this land. I've been in about 40 countries or more or less. Been traveling ever since I was 21 years old, full time in the ministry. And I meet a lot of preachers that preach healing. But when they get sick, they go to the doctor. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? They preach it to me, to you, to other people. But if they get sick, man, they right there scared to death they're going to die. A few years ago, I walked in Brother Franklin's house. And he was laying there at the point of death. No hope. But he held on to that nail-scarred hand. Wouldn't go to a doctor. If God wants me, He's going to take me. Amen. I've been preaching faith, teaching faith for all these years. And Jesus walked into his room and raised him up. The Bible says that faith is what limits us. There's nothing limits you tonight but your faith.
That's right.
If you're here in this service and you need to be healed, you'll just pray, Lord, I want to be healed tonight. God, move by your divine Holy Spirit. Move, and Lord, I want to be healed tonight. And you know, God heals old people. How many believe that? A lot of people don't believe that. God heals old people. God heals young people. And God can reveal your situation. I was in the islands of the sea, and I went on down into British Honduras. And I was struck down in this foreign country with an infection that I fought. Oh, I prayed. I beat the walls. It hurt so bad. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I suffered. And I'm preaching healing. People's getting healed, and I'm sick. But I don't tell nobody I'm sick. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. My wife knows I'm sick, but I'm not telling nobody else I'm sick. But I'd go to meetings. Nobody never did call me out and pray for me. I'd get in their prayer lines, and people pray for me, and nothing wouldn't happen. I just finally come to a place, I just thought, well, this is what I'm going to have to live with the rest of my life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you done give up. You said, I'm just going to have to live with this arthritis the rest of my life. I'm going to have to live with this sugar condition the rest of my life. I'm going to have to live with this eye trouble the rest of my life. Some of you have already said that. Well, I was thinking that, but I was resisting it by the Word of God. And I went to Brother Franklin's service in Macon, Georgia. I'm talking about suffering with this not for 30 days now, for year after year after year after year after year. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Still traveling, still preaching, but suffering, not telling anybody. I went in this service, and I told Brother Franklin. He didn't call me out. I just told him. I said, I need to be healed myself. And he said, well, if I see it in the vision, you're going to be healed. He sees a vision about it somewhere or another. And so he prayed for me and he said, you wait a minute. I just stood there. He said, I'm seeing it now. He said, you're healed. And it was hard for me to believe that after all them years of suffering. But when I went home, I was healed. Amen. How many of you believe God can do things like that? The symptoms went away. Huh? And buddy, I'm here to tell you I'm tickled death about this thing. Amen. I believe tonight that you don't have to suffer no more. All we got to do is touch that nail-scarred hand in this service tonight. And you can come to your pastor, Pastor Rustin, and you say, I've been suffering with this for 20 years and I got healed tonight. You can go to the doctor and let the x-ray machine take the picture. And the doctor will have to say, well, there's something wrong with our old x-ray machine. It's broke. What it used to show, it don't show it anymore. You can go back to that doctor, and that doctor can take your blood sample, and they say something miraculous has happened in your life. There's been a change in your blood structure. You don't have this disease anymore. Are you ready tonight? Do you want to get something from God? See, when you're born into the family of God, all you desire is milk. When you're born into the natural world, you desire milk. That's all you want. You don't want steak. You don't want chicken. When you're just a baby, you want milk. But one day there comes a time in your life that you just say, have you ever said, I'd just like to have a steak? Huh? Have you ever said, I'm just hungry for something solid? No more, no more sandwiches. But I want something, some steak. Praise God. Let's have a feast tonight. Amen. The table is spread. And let's get what God's got for us. Older people, listen to me now. Just because your hair was white on the top of your head, it does not mean that you can't be healed. You can be healed in this service tonight. God loves older people just as good as He loves younger people. Amen. God wants to do something for us. But I found out, Brother Rutledge, with every door, you got to have a key. If you come in this church, you got to have a key if the door's locked. How many of you understand? And some of these doors has been locked for years. Some people's lost the key. Amen.
Right.
But God's given some new people. Amen. Some different people. Some preachers. Some pastors. A key. And they unlocking spiritual doors today that you can receive something from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my privilege to introduce to you Brother Franklin Waldron from over in the state of Georgia.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Isn't the Lord wonderful? He's been mighty good to us, and we appreciate being here in Louisiana. This will be my first time to ever preach in Louisiana. I've been through Louisiana on the way to Texas and other places. I've been Arkansas, and I work mostly up in Canada and over in Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky. But I feel the presence of the Lord here. I know that God is going to do something great. I just know He's going to do something great. And it's a great honor to be here with you wonderful people. And I believe God is going to just bless us. Now, I am an emotional preacher when I get in motion. But sometimes I don't move too fast to start with. And you'll understand, of course it'd take me a month to tell you all of it, but I'll just let the Lord lead us night after night while we're here. And after all of these build-ups and things like that, my brother's been putting spots on the radio, and Brother Mercer gets up. See, I don't have a PhD to fall on or any of these things. I have to just totally depend on the Holy Ghost. I have nothing to fall back on. Nothing. You know, if you've got a degree or something, and I'm not against that, but if you've got a degree or something, you can always figure how to get yourself out of trouble somewhere or another. But I never was privileged to do that, be able to have a degree in school. So I have learned going into my 22nd year now, to just fall back on the Holy Ghost and say, God, here I am. So tonight, I don't know why that I'm starting this meeting off with what I'm going to preach, but I'm sure that He does know why. A lot of people need help. A lot of people are hurting today in the land. All over the land. I like what Brother Mercer said. Brother Mercer said that the older people, God healed older people. Never forget, I had been invited to come to a big church in Vancouver, British Columbia. And they had already set the budget to what they was going to give me. Said, you just come. I don't do that. But anyhow, that's what they did. And said, you don't have to worry about finances. And oh, it was a huge church. Rich church. Wealthy church. And I'm already booked to go. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't go. Said, you remember the little preacher over in Roanoke, Alabama, that invited you to come to his church 2 years ago? Said, go there. So I had to counsel in a meeting in Vancouver, and I didn't know what kind of church this preacher had. And I got there that Sunday morning after I called him and told him I'd be there. He had 5 in Sunday school. Here's a church running hundreds. He had 5 in Sunday school. That was his wife, himself, his grandbaby, and 1 and 2 more, besides us. We started that revival with just a few people that night, and God began to move. They repented. Some of them repented of the sins. A few of them did. But couldn't get a move no way. No way. As far as getting the people out. God was moving with the ones that was coming, but the city wasn't coming out. One night I was preaching and gave an altar call, and an old man back in the back, 77 years old, came down and fell on his face in the altar. After in the altar for a little while, he jumped up and began to talk and praise God, and the whole what few was there just went wild. They just didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. They shouted, they danced, they hollered, they cried. And after they got all quietened down, his son came up to me and said, that's my daddy. I knew his son. He was from over in Lynette, Alabama. His son was, but his dad lived in Roanoke, Alabama. He said, my dad has been where he could not speak a word for 11 years. Well, I shouted with him. 77 years old, and hadn't spoke a word in 11 years. I hadn't prayed for him. He repented of his sins, and God healed him. Well, that was wonderful. So we went on home that night rejoicing, and the next night we came back to the meeting. And as I topped the little hill, I looked, and there was a huge kudzu vines on each side in the valley down there. I said, oh my God, somebody's done had a wreck. On both sides of the road for looked like a quarter of a mile, and the yard was filled with cars. And I got up there and couldn't hardly get in the driveway myself. There was no way the church would hold the people. No way whatsoever. They couldn't get in there. They were sitting on the hoods of the car. They were standing outside finding anything they could do, but the inside was just packed from wall to wall. What had happened, this old man had went back, and his wife said he talked to me all night. I said, well, I guess he had a lot to catch up on. But he talked to me all night. Didn't let me sleep a bit. Said he hasn't slept a wink since last night. Said he walked up and down the streets of Roanoke, Alabama, telling the people what God had done. And I thought it had been an accident. There had been. As far as the world was concerned, they didn't know what to do with it. We had revival, and God met my need in that little Sunday school of five more than he would if I'd have went to Vancouver. So you see, God heals old people, and when God heals people, God does it for a purpose. He loves you. He loves you. I've got a little verse of Scripture here, just one verse of Scripture I'm going to read. Father, we thank you tonight for thy love, for thy peace, thy joy. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people here in Louisiana, my brothers and my sisters. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Now then, on the authority of your word, we bind every hindering power, every foul, unclean spirit. We come against the spiritual world that Satan operates in. And now then, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in his name, O God, we ask you to anoint every heart to receive this word and then anoint us to preach it, Lord. And when we're finished, may we hide behind the cross and only let them see Jesus. Amen. Matthew 24. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him a question, when shall the end be? And when shall be, in other words, his second coming? And Jesus said there'd be a sign given. And he gave the two signs in Matthew 24. And we read the first sign for the end of the world, for the second coming of the Lord, is found in the 14th verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Hallelujah.
And this gospel shall be preached in all the world. This bothered me. This verse of Scripture has bothered me up to some months ago that I just could not understand it, because we have so many missionaries on the field today going all over the world, all different denominations, and yet they say that in every nation, maybe not all the people, but every nation has had a witness of God already, that they know that God exists. And it bothered me. I made a little research and began to research on that verse of Scripture, and I found out that in the original it does not read like that. It reads a little different than that. Jesus' saying was a little different than that. And it was taken from the original text, he said, in the Greek, the text of the recorder, this good news shall be proclaimed with evidence to all nations of the world, then shall the end come.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm going to read that over again, the way that it is original. This good news shall be proclaimed with
evidence. Yes.
To all nations.
Hallelujah.
To all the world, of the world. Then shall the end come. Now think about that. This good news shall be proclaimed with evidence. Wonder why that he said that. Now I'm going to preach in a minute, but I want to lay this foundation. It makes a big difference than when this gospel is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. Then when this good news is proclaimed with evidence. To all nations of the world, then shall the end come.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, what kind of evidence do we have that God is existing today? Oh, you say, Brother Walden, I speak in tongues. Well, I do too. That's wonderful. But I see people all over the world that in my travels that speaks in other tongues. And you know what happened? They're losing battles every day. I see in America here how that preachers come by and they prophesy over the people all kinds of blessings. $10 blessings, $100 blessings, $5 blessings. I was in one place and they call them all down one time and I don't affiliate myself with that kind of stuff. And after he got everybody, he said, we'll prophesy over all of you that don't have but $3 at one prophecy for all of you. I've seen just about everything a man could see, and I saw behind the scenes of a lot of things that I wished I hadn't seen. But my heart was crying out, Lord, where is the evidence? What is taking place today? Why is man not moving? Why are we not seeing the deliverance power of God?
Hallelujah.
We see a lot of people that actually preach it, declare it, they're saying, but they do not actually have these things happening in their lives or in their congregation. I minister to more ministers, I guess, than most preachers do. And they come from all over the countryside just for me to counsel with them. I count it a great honor that God has given me favor with my brethren. But they are starving to death, not because they don't know how to preach, but they cannot find that God is confirming the Word in their lives. And they want to know why. In the early church, God confirmed His Word.
Yes, He did. Amen.
And we need a confirmation of the Word of God.
That's right.
Faith is wonderful, but faith without works is dead.
Right.
And when you begin to look into that rim of faith, somebody says, well, I've got faith, Brother Walden, but I don't never get healed. I don't get what I need from God. What's wrong? There's always something wrong. I don't care where it's at. There's always something wrong. If you can't get a prayer answered, there's something wrong.
Amen.
But when I discovered this good news proclaimed with evidence to all nations of the world, then shall the end come, I realized where the problem was at. The early church had the evidence that they had been with Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
They called Peter and John and all of them ignorant and unlearned and everything, but
when they brought the evidence of the man standing there with a miracle in him, they had the evidence. And they took notice that these men had been with Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It wasn't a man just coming out and said, an angel stood with me. An angel gave me the message. Let me clarify something for some of you folks that might need this. I wouldn't listen to an angel if he was to come to me if he was contrary to the Scripture. I wouldn't listen to an angel if he come to me and tried to interpret the Scripture for me. Someone said to me one time, but an angel came to this man and gave him the interpretation of the Scripture. I said, I don't believe it. Because the Bible said when the Holy Ghost, He brings the interpretation. He leads you into all truth. He opens up your understanding to the Scripture.
Hallelujah.
And so, as I begin to see that we need this knowledge of the understanding open up to where we can have the evidence that God wants us to have. Now, Pentecostal people, I love them. I'm one of you. I want you to know that. But there's more than tongues. I speak with other tongues. I prophesy. But Satan has got a counterfeit of Pentecost. There is a counterfeit of Pentecost. There's a counterfeit of tongues, of prophecy, healings, and all of these things. But there is, wherever there's a counterfeit, there have to be a genuine.
Right. Amen.
And therefore, as I look the world over today, I find the great need of the evidence of man coming into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The works that I do, ye shall do in greater things than these, because I go unto my Father. They had to take notice that these men had been with Jesus. They had been with Him. These miracles could not have happened. How could they tell? Not only because the man was healed, but they had put on the nature of Christ. They had the attributes of Christ. They were going about doing good. They had the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. I've had people to come to me and tell me, Brother Wallen said, I need you to pray for me. I said, you know, said I've got the fruit of love, or I've got the fruit of gentleness, I've got the fruit of goodness. And I listen to these things, and then they'd have fly off of the handle, and they just have all kinds, pitch all kind of tangents and things of this sort, and they had no mercy on people and all of this. See, the Bible didn't say the fruits of Spirit. He said the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Now, one Spirit, one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
All of these ingredients is in that one fruit. Like an orange has different minerals and different vitamins and different enzymes and all of that in the orange, but it's just one orange.
Right.
And you cannot eat that orange without eating all of them. And if you get the whole orange, you've got all of these things and ingredients in the orange or the apple or the lemon or whatever it is. And if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you've got love, joy, peace, and goodness, and gentleness, and all of these things, see. Faith. And when we have that in us, therefore, then we're moving in the right channel to see the evidence.
Right. Thank you.
Anything that is not done through love, Paul said, it's no good.
That's right.
Everything, though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
Yes.
Though I can prophesy and understand all mysteries, and though I have all of this knowledge, and then I give my body to be burned, and then I give everything I got to the poor, and have not charity, I am nothing. See, Jesus was God's love manifested in human flesh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world Himself. I don't have to preach you on the Godhead. Don't have to preach about water baptism. Every one of you know it, anyhow. I believe that. I believe what you do about that. I want you to know that. But I want you to know that when we see this thing and see that there, that we must have some evidence, God will confirm His Word. People will get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The eyes of their understanding will be opened up. Miracles will take place. The oppressed will be set free. Homes will be put back together. Boys and girls will live an upright life. And we will move in the realm of the Spirit to where the devil cannot torment us, because we're not living on a mountaintop. We've been elevated and translated above the mountaintop, sitting in heavenly places with our Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with Him today. Evidence. If there's ever been a time that we need the evidence of that we've been with Jesus, it's today. We say, well, I've been with Peter because he's got the Holy Ghost. I speak with tongues and he spoke with tongues. I baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the way the early church did. I do too. I want you to know that. Wasn't baptized no other way. You couldn't pay me to do it no other way. But I'm telling you, I speak with tongues. I prophesy. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord. And I see thousands and millions of people across the country. That's all they ever know about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you and I to give us power to go forth and proclaim this good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the door, that He is the Alpha and the Omega, and let the world know that He is the one that came into this world here that conquered death and hell and hold the keys today with some evidence that we have been with Him. How do we know? Get up and tell a story. Get up and tell it about the love of God, and then see people still fighting and fussing and bickering and backbiting and things like that. See this. How do we know that He was a God of love? How do we know that He was a God of power? How do we know that Matthew 28 and 18 was right when He said, all power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth? How do we know that the Holy Ghost, Acts 1 and 8 experience, after that it comes upon you shall receive power? How do we know that this power that has been made available unto you and I, how do we know these things today unless we have some evidence? And it's more than just tongues and the prophesying and things of that. It's the evidence of destroying the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And so we see this thing. People are hurting today. How can people backslide right in church? How can a minister preach and backslide while he's preaching? How can people talk in tongues and backslide while they're still talking in tongues? I'm talking about leave the church and go out and do things that is contrary to God's laws and His Word. How can they do that? Where's the problem at? This world is hurting. This whole world is hurting. We need some evidence today that the power of the Holy Ghost that we can produce. And if it's ever been a time, we need some proof producers. Paul told Timothy to make full proof of thy ministry. We need some proof producers with the proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ with some evidence. For the whole man, for the soul and the mind and the body of man, that'll turn man back to true holiness, where they'll live right and stand upon that rock and declare that Jesus Christ is the only way. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, this ministry doesn't belong to anybody that does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Doesn't belong to anybody. Those that deny the power of God, those that have a form of godliness and deny that power, you know what the power is? The name. The operation of faith in the name. What made this man here? Well, they looked on Peter and John so earnestly as if by their power of holiness. He said, why look on us this way? Well, it's not by any power of mine or any holiness of mine. It's through faith in His name. Right. Not in the person, but in the name of the person. Yes. Through faith in His name hath this man been made strong. That's where the power is at. And when we look at this world situation today, missionaries everywhere, they're passing out tracts. They're going around telling it. They're preaching in great big auditoriums. They're going under big tents, and they're going to having thousands and thousands on the mission field. Hundreds of thousands, some of them are telling them about Jesus, and they have no evidence that He's living. Brother, I believe tonight that I can stand here as a representative of Christ, tell you that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe there's some evidence tonight through the power of the Holy Ghost, some and vindicating of His Word tonight that He's going to move in this place. People's lives are going to be changed. People's lives are going to be changed to a greater faith in God, that your faith is going to reach out. Your bodies are going to be healed. Miracles are going to take place. And the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit are going to be here. And we're going to see something happen because we know that this gospel of the kingdom of God must be proclaimed with evidence.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We want to bring Jesus back? Let's work miracles. Hallelujah. Every time God performed an exodus means a great bringing out. He brought the children of Israel out of bondage. He performed that exodus with signs, wonders, and miracles that could not be counterfeited.
That's right.
You got to possess this land. I'm not going to drive those giants out. I'm not going up there and send an earthquake and open up and swallow those giants. He showed them what they could have, but He said, you must get rid of the giants. Some of you have got giants in your life. All over America, there's things that people are hung up with. Great big things that stands in the way. And they doubted God that they could do what God had told them to do. And this is exactly where the ministers are today.
Right.
They preach it. They believe that God can do it. But that's just ordinary kind of faith.
Uh-huh.
You ask a drunk out there in the bar room, unless he's an atheist, say, do you believe God can make it rain if He wants to? Certainly not make it rain.
Yeah.
You believe God can hold the rain back? Yeah, God can do anything He wants to. I mean, sat at a bar room and drinking beer or some kind of whiskey or something or another, and you ask him under the influence if he's not an atheist, he said, God can do anything He wants to. You ask the Baptist, and the Baptist will say, God can do anything. You ask the Jehovah Witness that don't even believe in Jesus Christ, can God do it? And they say, God can do it.
Right.
You ask the Mormons, anybody else, and they say, God can do it. Nazarenes to anybody, that God can do it. Even some of the Pentecostals believe God can do it. But we never see Him doing it. What I'm talking about, they say that they can do it. That's just ordinary faith. I asked a man that had a family. He come to me to pray for his baby. Burned up fever. He was an alcoholic. I said, what do you come to me for? You mean to tell me you got that much faith in him? He said, I believe God will heal it when you pray for him. Brought it to me before he took it to the doctor. This alcoholic did. Brought his child. He said, I believe God can heal it when you pray for it. And still an alcoholic. So that kind of faith is just ordinary faith, and faith that actually comes with just good common sense.
Sure.
But now the faith that we're looking at tonight that brings forth the evidence to the world and all nations of the world is the kind of faith that God has placed in us. As I was telling Brother Mercer, in Mark 11, where Jesus spoke and to the fig tree and cursed it and because He found no fruit on it. And went on into Bethany, and the next morning they came back out, and Peter and them was just amazed, and they brought his attention to what had happened. And the verse says there, he says, have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, you can say to that mountain to be moved into the sea, and it'll be done, you know. If you believe in your heart, doubt not in your heart. You can have what you say. Just speak the word and it'll happen to you. It's all right if I just talk to you like I feel like tonight. I don't try to be a big time dignified preacher. I'm just what I am, and that's what I am. And so I want you to know that. But I looked at that. I said, how could that be? How in the world could that be now? Have faith in God. They've been casting out devils. They've been healing the sick. And you mean to tell me, he turns around and say, have faith in God? And you can say to that mountain over there, what kind of faith is he talking about? They've been doing all these kind of things. They had a part of the ministry. Jesus sent them out. They came back rejoicing because the evil spirit was subject unto them. And then I made a little research and I found out in the Greek that it doesn't say have faith in God.
In the Greek, in the original, it says, have the faith of God. And then you can say to that mountain, be thou moved. Have the faith of God. What did he say in Habakkuk 2, I believe it is in 4? He said there that the just shall live by his faith.
Right.
Not his own faith, but the faith of God.
Right.
This is a vision that Habakkuk had that would be at the end time, that the church would not operate only in faith like the Old Testament did, but they would operate not only with faith in God. In the Old Bible, they had faith in God and operated and saw great miracles take place. But this grace dispensation brought a revealed faith to us that no longer are we operating by faith in God, but we're operating by the faith of God that's in us, because it's a mystery, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said in Colossians 2 and 20, I believe it is, he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, not another faith, but the faith of the Son of God. The same kind of faith that Jesus cast out devils, the same faith that He walked on the water, the same faith that He healed the sick and raised the dead. Paul said, I'm operating in that same faith, and he had some evidence that he was operating in that faith, because the dead was raised and miracles took place. He had the evidence that he was operating in the faith of God. And if you're operating in the faith of God, got the genuine Holy Ghost, you'll have some evidence. And it'll be not just some evidence of tongues and interpretation. It'll be evidence of all the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Won't you see this? So what happened? Where was their faith at? These 10 ministers brought back a report of truth that it's there, boys. I know God didn't lie to us. It's out there. There's all kinds of good fruit and good grazing and land out there. It's there. There it is. And what happened? Joshua and Caleb come bringing up some evidence. Yep, they told you about it. But I've got something I want to show you about it. We need some proof producers of the evidence that the things that God said the church should be having and operating in is for us today. It's for us right today, the power of the Holy Ghost. And because of the anointing, Isaiah the prophet said, the yoke is destroyed. They had the evidence. But because of unbelief, they were not able to enter in. What kind? They didn't believe they could slay the giant. Some of you don't believe you can get well. Some of you don't believe you can live a good life and a holy life. Some of the people in the world today don't believe that anything like that happens. So they didn't go in for 40 years. Joshua and Caleb stayed there, and it never lost it. God said it's for us. One day, Caleb, we're going to have it. Joshua no doubt would tell him. One day we'll have it. After all of these 40 years of being in that church of unbelief, God still sent the manna down. He still worked miracles in the lives. In a church of unbelief, He still kept His promises to them. Right? That's right. He'll keep His promises. That's the reason the Pentecostal folks are still getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they're not getting out of the wilderness. I didn't think I'd get too many amens there. You see, in the wilderness, there's death, there's mountains. You go around and around in circles. How long have we been going in circles with the same little old message around? Round and around and around and around. And some of you may not come back after tonight, but you might well know what I stand for anyhow. Round and around and around. Now listen, I believe in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any bones about it. I would not baptize any other way, but there is more territory to explore than the water hole. Get them baptized. Get them there full of the Holy Ghost. And then adventure on out in faith out there. There's a realm of the Spirit that's never been explored. That we can operate in the faith of God and have the evidence that He's a living today. That He's a moving today. The yokes are being broke today. Sickness and diseases are being healed today. Demon spirits are being cast out today. Satan's kingdom is coming down today because we're operating in the faith of God. And we're seeing it happen because we have some evidence. Do you love the Lord? So they got some young faith. Can you imagine Joshua and Caleb getting a few of them children around every once in a while and saying, listen, boys, I want to tell you, just to make you know, we should be over on the other side. We've drank some of that grape juice. We've eaten some of those figs. We've seen what it's like over there. Under they kept building faith in the young. Under they kept building faith. And when they got up there, and they had some about 20 years old there. God let them, when Moses died, He put Joshua in command. And they went across. Got over there dividing the inheritance. And Caleb came up to Joshua and said, hey, I'm just as strong and healthy and I'm just as capable of taking that mountain over there of circumstances where all those giants was at. I'm ready to go get it. All I want, I don't want the green pastures. I want to get up there and slay those giants that kept me away from the promises of God for these 40 years. I've been wanting to get there and look them great big fellas in the face. I've been wanting to go over there and take that land. It's time for the Pentecostal folks. It's time for the sons of God to rise up and move out every obstacle and not fear the giants and the threats of man and not look at the disbelief in the preachers today and the minister today, but say, that's my mountain. I'm going to have everything God has said I could have because I'm living in the faith of God, and by the faith of God I'm going to have some evidence. God's going to produce. God's going to come on the scene. God's going to use me. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to stand on God's word. Hallelujah. Where's it at? Where's the evidence at? Glory to God. I know we speak in tongues. But brother, if you've got enough power to speak in tongues and prophesy, that same power that causes you to do that, if you know how to channel and have your understanding open up, you can stand still in the faith of God and say what you will and doubt not in your heart. And you can see these things happen. And it's time for the great army of Joel to rise up. It's time for the manifested sons of God to come forth. It's time for people today to recognize that the God we served is still on the throne. And not only that, the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost lives in us. And Paul said it's a mystery, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is it at? This world, when this nation and this world is preached, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with evidence. With evidence. Preach it and then have no evidence with it. Have you ever seen anybody do that, brother?
Yes, sir.
Preach the message, pray I will believe in healing, but never see no healing. Preach miracles, but never see any miracles. I'm talking to you. I'm going to be honest with you. If I preach the Word of God and God doesn't confirm it, I'm going to find out why. I'm going to search. I'm going to find out why. There's a reason. Lady come to my meeting. I preaching on healing out in Fredericton, New Brunswick. She came to my meeting and she said, I want you to be prayed for. And she was a real Pentecostal. I mean, just as dressed Pentecostal. Look holy. And she said, I need healing. People have prayed, preachers prayed for me all over the country and I'm still sick. I prayed for her and she shouted. I'm not against shouting. I shout too. And she cut that holiness jig that we cut sometimes, you know. And I'm not making fun. I'm talking about, you know how it feels when the power hits you and you jump a little bit. And I do it too. Sometimes I shake a leg and look like I feel like I'm about 16 years old. And I'm not ashamed of that, and that's all right. But she went off and didn't get healed. The next night she was in the line. I laid my hand on her. She'd done the same thing. She shouted. She felt the power. I felt the power. But she didn't get healed. Every night of that meeting in Fredericton, New Brunswick there, every night she was in the prayer line. And the last night she came down and I prayed for her, and she'd done the same thing. You can't help it. You stick your finger in a socket and see if you don't do something. When the power of God comes on you and you make connection. She was, now her shout was genuine. Wasn't nothing wrong with it. It was of God. She moved and she was shouting in the Spirit. It was not a put-on shout. And I prayed for her and she still didn't get a miracle. And she started to walk off and I looked and I had a vision. I said, wait a minute, sister, come here. She walked back up there. I said, uh-huh. I said, who do you have a quarrel with? She said, oh, Brother Walden, my heart's pure before God. I said, I don't have no quarrel with nobody. I said, then please tell me who that man is that you're standing there pointing your finger. I see you in a vision, and you're just standing there putting your finger in that man's face, and you're giving him what for? Their lips begin to quiver, and tears run out of eyes. She said, Brother Walden, that's my husband. Said, he's the best man. God could never give a woman a better man than him. But all our married life, said, I've given him a hard time. I fussed at him, and even when he wasn't just over any little thing, said, I just fussed at him and all time on him and after him all the time. And she said, but if God will forgive me, she knows she done got caught. If God will forgive me, I'll go home and ask Him to forgive me, and I'll never do it again. I lie not. When she said those words, a miracle took place, and she was instantly healed. The average person would have said, see, God doesn't heal everybody. Pentecostal preacher brought a woman there to me. She was going out of her mind. Didn't have, couldn't tell her nothing, Brother Mercer. I mean, she was just, oh, she was wanting to go to the to get some shock treatments, to get everything off her mind. Said she's demon-possessed, and he said she was causing trouble in the church and all kind of things. Brought in our counsel with her and prayed with her, and she went back to the church, and people said, see, Brother Walden didn't have the power to set her free. If he had the power like he preaches, said she'd been healed. It was all set free. Come to me, and I said, bring her back again. Brought her back again. I'm sitting down here. Now, I'm going to be myself, brother. I'm sitting down there looking at her, talking to her, and counseling her like this, you know, and all of a sudden I have a vision. I said, you've been to a fortune teller. I said, didn't you know that God forbids you to go to a fortune teller and you're supposed to be a Pentecostal woman? Well, I couldn't get any answers from these backslidden preachers, she said. She just run it down like, and I said, well, wait a minute. That's not what your problem is. You're blaming it on the preachers. You're blaming it on all these preachers. You're blaming what you're doing on these preachers. I said, you got another problem. You want me to tell you what your problem is? I'm going to tell you what it is. You became expecting with a child. You hated your husband because it happened. You slipped and had an abortion. And what it is, your conscience is bothering you because you took an innocent life. And that's thus saith the Lord. That woman straightened up and said, who told you? I said, God did. Get out of here until you repent. I don't know what God's going to do with you. But they wanted to put all the blame on the preacher. That's what was driving her crazy. That's the reason she couldn't sleep at night. That's the reason she's on tranquilizer. That's the reason she wanted shock treatments. Still talking in tongues. You didn't set her free? No. No way I could set her free. She's got to make things right with God. Man drove all over the country. All over the country. He'd been in Louisiana and he may be in this meeting. I don't know. If he knows I'm here, he'd be here. Came all over the country. Dallas, Texas. Been to Jack Cole's meeting. William Branham's meeting. And Old Roberts' meeting. Brother Terrell's meeting. All these folks and everybody, you know. He's been to everybody's meeting. My meeting. And said, I'm demon possessed. I need to have the devil cast out of me. I went to this little place in Texas. And he comes in. He's sitting there talking to another minister that's with me. And I've been praying. And I've been fasting. And I've been trying to get an answer for this old boy. I said, listen here. I said, I see you out in an oil field. You're working. You got a young woman. She's part Indian. And I said, you have broke your marriage vows with your wife. You have been going to a hotel. This was years and years ago. He said, yeah, it's been 16 years ago. I said, until you go and confess that thing to your wife and ask her to forgive you. I don't say God requires that in every case. I don't know. But this case he did. I said, you'll stay and die demon-possessed. You blamed it on your wife and said you didn't have a good... Said God told you not to marry your wife. That's not it. It's on your sorry doings you committed adultery. Now you want to be set free. You go make it right, right now. Get out of here till you go make it right. The man took her out for supper that night, but he didn't tell her. He come back and asked me. He said, listen, Brother Walton, I couldn't tell her. I said, don't come asking me to pray for you till you get this thing straightened out. God, let me know the woman will forgive you if you'll go to her and be honest with her. For 15 years ago, when you broke your marriage vows and committed adultery, God will let you, will forgive you. And I said, then you can be healed. You'll have some evidence that God loves you and God cares for you. Then you'll have the power of God in your life. But until you do, don't let nobody else pray for you. He'd been to Brother Grant's. He said, Brother Branham prayed for him. He said, Brother Turrell prayed for him. Old Roberts, another fellow up in Biloxi, Mississippi, that casts out demons, specializes in it. He'd been all over the country. But nobody ever discerned this thing. Brother, when you come up before me and I start to praying for you and it don't happen, and you tell me there's nothing in there, you better wait. If you stay around and come back another night or two, I'll know why it didn't happen. Want it, Brother Mercer? Because I know there's a reason. I know there's a reason. I know a man that wouldn't... Can I go on and talk to you a little more now in this order?
Yes.
We're getting back to the evidence in a few minutes. But I know a man that wouldn't take as much as an aspirin tablet. He was 65 years old and one day he come down, he had a diabetic condition and his sugar went up and he began to affect his mind. And so his daughter rushed him to the hospital, and when he come to himself and got his sugar level down, He signed himself, got out of the hospital, and blessed all the doctors out. Didn't believe in a doctor. Wouldn't have a doctor. Kept going up and down, up and down, up and down. The man died. People said, see, if God healed everybody, that man lived. He prayed for the sick. That man had miracles in his life, and he did. He prayed for me, and I was healed even. But now, why didn't God heal him if he healed everybody? This bothered me. I believe it's time to have a little spiritual research, don't you?
Sure.
Spiritual research and see why these things don't happen. Man died and it bothered me and I didn't know what to do. And the man had told me something. And he told me how that his wife had run around on him back years and years ago. And he said, but I forgave her of it. I forgive him. I don't hold against him. He wouldn't have told me about it. So this thing, God brought it back to my mind. I went to his wife after he was done buried, and I said, I want to talk to you. I said, did you ever run around on your husband? Tears in this old saint's eyes, looked at me and said, Brother Walden. Said, no man ever touched me but my husband. Said, he believed that. But it was a lie of the devil. He believed the lie of the devil and couldn't get healed. She said, a week before he died, he accused me and throwed this back up in my face. You see, when you forgive somebody, you have to forget it. The Lord said, that's the reason. He believed the devil's lie. You see, you can tell a lie and get forgiveness of it. But if you believe a lie, you'll be damned. And he died. He died that way. Now, see, Jesus Christ even knew the very thoughts of their heart. He could tell you what they was thinking, and he wasn't a mind reader. He just knows everything. He was a master of everything. And so when we move into this ministry of the last day, just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when this gospel, good news, shall be proclaimed to all nations with evidence, we're going to have more evidence than tongues. The charismatic movement's got that all over the world. Amen. But what about discerning the heart of a man and telling him the very secrets of his heart? What about going, I'm not talking about fortune telling. What about speaking the word and seeing the lame heal right before your eyes? What about getting a people in a place to where they can trust God and know that He is God, and the world take notice that they've been with Jesus because they have some evidence in their lives? Do you love the Lord? When this gospel of this good news is proclaimed with evidence to all nations of the world, then shall the end come. It bothered me. When I'd pray for somebody and it didn't happen, I'd go home and say, Lord, why didn't it happen? I was in Monroe, Georgia years ago, and I'm having a prayer line, and I'm praying for the folks, and I was just young in this thing and didn't know. And I was praying for a man, and I loved him. He was a preacher, congregation, holiness preacher. And I was praying for him, and he didn't get a thing. And the woman right behind him, she was needing a miracle, and I prayed for her, and she got healed. Now, I didn't know who the woman was. Later, I found out it was the minister's wife. After the service, she got an instant miracle, and the minister walked off of that and didn't get healed. I went home that night and couldn't sleep a bit. Lord, why did this woman, his wife, get healed, and you didn't heal him? What's wrong? I said, get up and go to church. It was on Saturday night. I said, get up and go to church in the morning, Dan, to a certain church. I got up and went to church. I'm sitting back in the back. They didn't ask me to get up and say a word, but to ask him to get up. He happened to be there. Come on up, brother, and have a little word. And he said, well, first words he said, them niggers, they ain't even got a soul. He said, all of them's nothing but animals, and I hate the ground they walk on. God said, that's the reason I didn't heal him. He died that way. You shouldn't hate no creature of God. You shouldn't hate anything. I love everything God made. Everything God made, I love it. Everything that has life, God gave it life. I love all of God's creation. I love everything. But people today are not seeing the evidence in the midst of them. They're not seeing the power of God. They're not seeing the yokes broken. They're not seeing the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. They're not seeing the children delivered from oppression and dope and demons screaming out. They're not seeing these things happen today. And what we need today is some proof producers with some evidence that they're walking in the faith of the God that's able to do all things, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful, isn't he? Glory to God, I feel my help here tonight. Now, it's coming now. But you've got to operate in that realm of the Spirit. You say, but our church don't believe in it. Our pastor teaches against it. And they say this is of the devil. You better be careful. A man the other day made a statement back home and said these words. He said, what happens in Walden's meeting? He said, he's operating with a familiar spirit. And he said, the devil takes it off of him while he's in a meeting to bring deception to him, and then puts it back on him when he leaves. You know what the man done? Blasphemed. That man's got from worse and worse and worse. His wife is fixing to leave him. His children's fixing to leave home. They can't stand in the house with him. Because he blasphemed. Did you know the Bible say you can say one word against the Holy Ghost and it won't be forgiven in this world or the world to come? That's when you are praying for the sick or your pastor here or anybody is moving in the realm of the Spirit, and you judge that and say that's the spirit of Beelzebub. You have blasphemed when you call the Holy Ghost of the devil. Just as much as these preachers that don't believe in the Holy Ghost today with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they say we Pentecostal folks that believe in that it's of the devil. One man put a big article in his book and said anybody that talks in tongues is of the devil. Another said this praying for the sick right up here. One of your biggest men in the United States as far as representing others than Billy Graham. He's right up there next with Billy Graham right now. He's in that moral majority movement, said that praying for the sick is not for God and not for the church anymore. So we got good doctors and all of that. And these evangelists is going about and the preachers praying for that. Said it's not for God, not for the church anymore. We got good doctors. I want to tell you something, neighbor. And he said they're working in familiar your spirits and things of that. That man, if he didn't blaspheme, he's on the borderline, David. But what we need today is somebody somebody that is walking in faith of God and being led by the Spirit that has some evidence that the world will know that there is a genuine, that there is somebody that's standing on the unadulterated truth of God's Word, that God will vindicate His Word and set the captive free by the power of the Holy Ghost through faith in the name of Jesus. Don't come too late to tell me that foolishness. I done been there. I done been there. I know what I'm talking about. We need some evidence in Monroe, Louisiana. You've had a little of it. Your pastor here was telling me how that you got on television and the sister was healed of a broke foot or something. That's wonderful. That's evidence that God is here. We need some evidence. Well, it's evidence He's a healer. We know He's a Savior. Yeah, He's a healer. He's a healer for the whole man. He's everything that we need, but we get into a place. Somebody said, well, why don't we see the gifts of the Spirit operating? All right, I'll tell you why. Paul said to desire spiritual gifts. And until you as a congregation of people desire to see the gifts of God operating, you'll never see them in your life. But if you desire to see someone be healed, you desire to see the operation of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and discernment, the gift of miracles and faith and all this in operation, it'll happen. But when the pastor does not have any desire for it, and he only preaches just a regular little sermon, and that's as far as you go, that's all you'll ever see. Lady come up to me and said, Brother Warren, don't you pray for my faith? And I prayed for faith all my life for people. Come up, Brother Mercer, and tell me the hand, said, Brother Warren, don't you pray that I'll have more faith. I'm grabbing her by the hand, and all these years I've been doing that, and I'm praying for her. Lord, give her more faith. The Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, quit praying that prayer. That's an unscriptural prayer. But you don't pray for faith. Faith don't come by praying. You pray because you got faith. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach lest they be sent? What? Faith. They can't preach faith unless they've been sent by God. They can have a sermon, but they can't preach faith of deliverance. So what was it? They didn't enter in over there because of their unbelief. That they didn't believe they could do what God told them to do. Did He say these signs will follow them that believe? Oh, Brother Warren, I know that's for the big prophets. Didn't say nothing about no big prophets. He said the believers, didn't He, brother? You ought to be able to cast the devil out with one hand while you're sawing with a skill saw with the other if you're a carpenter.
Amen. Praise God.
If you're frying eggs on a grill and the devil needs to be cast out and somebody comes up, just flip the eggs over and pray and cast the devil out with the other hand. Wherever you're at, this power of God is present with you. You can have the evidence that it's anywhere you go. The power of God is right there present at all times. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. The Bible says the righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all of them. Every one of them. Then why aren't we healed, Brother Warren? Why aren't we seeing this? I know you've been turned off. I know that. People have been turned off. The nation today has been... We've had in Atlanta, Georgia, we've got everything that ever been thought of come through there. We know that. But you see, what I'm trying to say, neighbor, is this. That there is a genuine.
Yes, sir.
How do you know it's genuine? He'll have the nature of Christ. They'll go about doing good. They're not preaching for money or gain. Come on. They have the fruit of the Spirit in their life and the attributes of Christ in their lives. And they have compassion. Now let me show you something. I could pity Brother Mercer there, and he could have no shoes on his feet. And I said, I pity that poor man. He could have no shoes on his feet, and I could have a trunk full of shoes and walk, drive on off and leave him there barefooted in cold weather. I could look at him and I could say, I pity that poor fellow, and I feel sorry for him. Don't look like he's had a meal in a long time. And I could have all kind of groceries and walk off of there and leave him there hungry and barefooted. And I could look at him and I could say, I just feel sorry. It looks like he's just down there and I pity the fella. And never do a thing to minister to him. But I can't look at that man and have compassion on him without getting some shoes for his feet and some food for his stomach.
That's right. That's true. Hallelujah.
You see, I pity him. You can pity a man and you can feel sorry for a man or a woman, a boy, a girl, or anybody, and never do nothing about their case. But if you ever move into that realm of the Spirit where Jesus had compassion, He looked at him and had compassion. And when you have compassion, you make a move toward doing something to make it easier for the man, to ease the pain of the person, to lift the burden they're bearing, to say a word of encouragement to them. And that's what Jesus did. The ministry of the church is the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's not the ministry of man. It's not the Hollywood style preaching. It's not with a good long sermon with long words and things of this sort. It's simple faith of God. Operating in it, believing He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that dwells in us.
Praise God. Glory.
And when we see this, and we look and see these things, the gifts of the Spirit will operate. Now, I'm going to show you something about the gifts. Can I talk a few more minutes, brother? I'm going to show you something about the gifts of the Spirit. You read in Corinthians concerning the 9 gifts of the Spirit. How many of you know that it only mentions gifts in one place? You read the start of it, it says, "My brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts." Right?
Right.
You look at that word gifts in there, and it's in italics. It was placed in there. And he says, "I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual brethren." It takes the emphasis off of the gifts and puts on the brethren. Why did he do that? Because if you'll read, it's always manifestation of the gifts. Come on. He only mentioned gifts in one place, and that's the gifts of faith. The gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. Why did he say gifts of healing? Didn't mention gifts any other way. He said the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and miracles, and interpretation, and tongues, and on and on and on. The rest of them are manifestations of the Holy Ghost. They're gifts, all right, but it's the manifestations among the holy brethren. Well, sisters, everybody's in the Spirit, what I'm trying to say, but he mentioned it that way, see. But what I'm trying to bring out is this. He brought healing, the gifts of healing. Why did he say gifts of healing? Because the inner man needs healing. The mind of man needs healing. The soul of man needs, the spirit of man, the soul of man, and the body needs healing. The gifts of healing. You don't get the soul healed like you do the body healed. And you don't get the spirit healed like you do the soul healed. Only God can heal the soul. Only God. I'm talking about that is when you're born again and your soul is saved. We say talk about the salvation of the soul. When you follow the instruction, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You receive something, resurrection power in that soul that God lives in. But then, after you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you've been born again, you can still be sick in your spirit.
That's right.
You can still be sick in your spirit. Now, in James, he said, if there's any afflicted among you, let them pray. Now, if you are afflicted, Brother Rutledge, Brother Mercer, myself, or nobody else can get you healed by praying for you. Because you'd be breaking the pattern. You've got to pray if you're afflicted. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. When? When they pray.
That's it.
Then he said, if there's any merit, let them sing. Right? I'm closing now. So if you're happy, you're supposed to sing. I sing, and me and Brother Mercer, neither one can't sing, but we sing now when we get happy. Nothing wrong with it. Ain't no difference how we sound, just sing. He didn't say how you sound, just sing. If you're married, sing. And then he said, if there's any sick among you, let that sick person call for the elders. Now, when you're sick, the responsibility is placed on you, according to God's word, to call for the elders. Now, this is in the church. Out on the highways and byways and hedges and in tents and things like that, you can't take a carload of elders with you. But in the church, this is the pattern God set. And he said, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders. The moment you call for the elders of the church, the responsibility is placed off of you and placed on, taken off of you and placed on the elders. Are you with me? Then when the elders follow the instructions and get some oil and anoint you in the name of the Lord and pray the prayer of faith, the responsibility is neither on the sick person, neither is on the elders, but it's placed back on the healer, Jesus.
Right.
And he says the Lord will raise them up, and if they committed any sins, he'll forgive them.
That's right.
Now we've got the soul saved. We've got the body healed. And then he comes back in the next verse and says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. He was not talking about the physical body. He was not talking about affliction you had in your body. He was talking about the fellowship in the spirit that is broken between your brothers and your sisters there. When you come and confess your fault and then say, Brother Mercer, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. That heals the wounds in the spirit, the broken fellowship in the spirit. Therefore, the gifts of healing is for the soul, the spirit, and the body. That's when you said the gifts of healing. For the whole man. And you have to do it different. You don't come up and lay your hand on him and say, God, save him. There's got to be some repenting done.
Right.
There's got to be some following God's instructions.
Yes.
You can have a difference between your wife or your husband or your children or a neighbor in the town or somewhere or another, and you don't get that spiritual in man healed until you confess them faults one to another and pray one for another, and then that's when the healing takes place. Right there. And then we'll have the evidence that God is in His Word and that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Uh-huh.
And then that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us now lives within us, because Paul said it's a mystery, but it's Christ in you. And then we move into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the evidence that we've been with Jesus, because He's confirming His Word and vindicating His Word in the midst of those that will obey it. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Now, let me go a little further. If you have a deaf ear, can I talk a few more minutes? If you have a deaf ear, you can be as saved as you'll ever be and still have a deaf ear in your spirit. And in your ear, I mean. Well, I can cast that deaf ear, that deafness out of that ear. And when you get death out of the ear, then life comes. God replaces life where death is at. Right? You combat death with life. You combat a lie with truth. You combat weakness with strength. And on and on and on I could go and say. Then if it gets into your ear, you cast it out. It gets into your joint, you cast it out. You know how to do that. You have to do that. You have to take authority over these things. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. But now if the spirit is in your spirit and you have a demon spirit in your spirit, you don't try to cast it out of the flesh. You have to speak to that spirit to leave the spirit of that man.
Uh-huh.
I hope you see what I'm talking about. There's a way to deal with these things. And it's simple. I mean so simple when you know that you have authority.
Hallelujah.
Now look what he says. He says, he spoke to his disciples and said, I give you power and authority. Power and authority. I thought power and authority was all one thing, but it's not. It's not. When I was in service, They gave me a gun, and I'm on the rifle range. It's loaded. I'm looking out there. The target's up there, but I cannot fire that gun until that man gives me the authority to do it. I've got the gun. It's got the shells in it. I've got the hammer back. Or I've got the safety off where I can go ahead and fire it, but I'm not allowed to do it until that man gives me the authority to do it. Acts 1 and 8, as I come to this end of this thing now, says, after that the Holy Ghost has come up on you,
hallelujah,
ye shall receive power.
Right.
How many of you know you've got power, been filled with the Holy Ghost?
Thank you, Lord.
All right? Have you ever been a time that you know you didn't feel a thing? You're sitting at the table, you're working on your job, you're driving the car, you're flying an airplane, but you still know that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, right? You've been in church and preachers have preached, and maybe like tonight, and you haven't felt a thing, but then and maybe songs have been sung and nothing happened, but then all of a sudden you feel like something covering over you, something coming upon you. That's the anointing of God coming down upon you, making connection with that's within you, and then that gives you the power and the authority to use the power that God has given you. See, I don't claim to have power to heal the sick. I don't claim to have the power to heal the sick. I don't claim to have the power to cast out devils. I don't claim any power of my own. I claim to have the authority to use His.
Yes.
To use His power.
Right.
It's His power. All power has been given unto Him both in heaven and earth.
Right.
It's His power,
yes,
that He's made available to the church.
Right.
And we must claim to have the authority to use His power.
Glory.
And then we can see things happen.
Right.
We can see things happen. Somebody said, well, bless God, I've got power to cast out devils. Recognize it's not your power. It's God's power. You just have the authority to use it through faith in His name. Faith in His name. You know, we sing, He is Lord, a lot of times, and that's a chorus that I sing, and I guess everybody sings it from time to time. He is Lord. Now, that's the right way to sing. I mean, that's all right to sing that, I guess. But you see, it could be a wrong approach too. Because though we say He is Lord, there's many lords. There's a landlord, there's lords of England, there's all kind of lords and everything. But the Bible says no man can say He is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Now when you say the Lord, that means He's the Lord of all of the lords.
Yeah.
He's at the top of the ladder.
Uh-huh.
When you say He's the door, that means there's no other door.
Right.
When you say He's the way, there's no other way.
Hallelujah.
When you say He is the Alpha and Omega, that means there is no other beginning and ending. He is just exactly that, see. So when we say He is the Lord by the Holy Ghost, and then we say that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, not another faith. And I don't know whether you ever read it or not in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Have you ever read that? All right. Now, in the Greek, it does not read that way. In the Greek, it says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, number three is perfection. In God's numbers. The gift of faith is mentioned number three in the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. That means the gift of faith is perfect faith. And the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned number seven, which means completion in God's numbers. And when you have the gift of faith operating in you, along with the fruit of faith, you've got perfect and complete faith, mean total faith in God's Word, which brings total victory.
Hallelujah.
With evidence that He lives today.
Praise
God. So you can have the gift of faith. Paul said you could without charity. And you've nothing. But you can't have the gift of faith and the fruit of faith together and miss. Do you see what I'm talking about? Oh, praise His name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you love Him? Do you love Him?
so wonderful, isn't he? Glory to God. Something's about to happen. Some of you folks are hurting. Some of you folks want something from God. Now, I haven't run up and down the aisles, but I felt the Holy Ghost in this place tonight.
Young lady in the congregation, God's about to do something for her. Isn't He wonderful? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sing, I Love Him. Just sing it soft and beautiful. I love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. Thank you, Jesus. And for
just my salvation
on Calvary. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time. I can't sing. Y'all sing it.
I love Him.
That's beautiful. Sing it with all your heart.
I love Him because He first loved me.
And hallelujah.
Just my salvation.
Hallelujah.
On Calvary.
Little girl just touched the little young lady, just touched God just a moment ago, sitting right over there. Stand up, little sister.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless her, Lord.
Isn't He wonderful?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Your fears, your nervous condition, the infection in the body is leaving right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's thus saith the word of the Lord.
Glory to God.
Go and be healed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't He wonderful?
Yes, He is.
Just love Him. Just love Him. Just love Him. Go ahead and praise Him, sister, and love Him. It's all right. It's all over now. Jesus hadn't forgotten you. It's all over now. Oh,
hallelujah.
Don't you love Him?
Hallelujah.
He loves you. Don't you love Him? Let's just worship God. Long as the anointing is here, we'll minister. But when it lifts, I'll quit. You don't make it work. You just preach the Word and let Him work.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come here, sister, right here.
Hallelujah.
Come here, sister. You love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't He wonderful, folks?
Yes, He is. Gosh.
I don't know you, sister, but I see you praying. You're on your knees. You're crying. You're asking God. There's someone that's lost. That's caused it. That's been a hindrance to you walking with God like you should walk. And you're crying out unto God right now to help. This has brought pressure and a nervous condition upon you. And I see you grabbing your head. You have like a pressure on your head from time to time. That's headaches. Sister, you know what I'm talking about? Am I telling you the truth? Then go home and be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that loved one will be saved. And everything will be all right. Amen. Love Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Just love Jesus. He knows when you've got a loved one, a companion, a son, or a daughter, or wife, or whoever it is that you're praying for. And He hears you. He knows what you're doing. He knows the pressure and the old load you're carrying. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just love Him. He's here
Hallelujah.
Tonight. Just love Him. I don't have to touch you. He's right here in the midst of you tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Jesus the same. Yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. He loves you. That's the reason He heals you. He loves you. Glory to God. Praise His name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Sing it one more time, my brother. Hallelujah.
I love Him.
Love Him.
I
love Him.
Because He first loved me.
Yes, hallelujah. I keep seeing a man that's got a back problem. For some reason, God didn't show me just who you are, but you got a back problem. It's about 6 to 8 inches from the end of your spine. It was caused from an accident. You're in here tonight. I don't know why. Maybe you're unbelief. Maybe you don't believe this. I don't know. Many times God lead me right to them, just like He does them. But you're here tonight. I don't know what the purpose is. But if you want your back to be healed, God will heal you. If you just stand, God will heal you right where you're at. If you're not ashamed of this gospel, God will heal you. Go home and be healed, my brother. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Go home and be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in His name. Hallelujah. Oh, He's wonderful. Worship God. Hallelujah. Just don't doubt. Just don't doubt. Just love Him. Just love Him. Hallelujah. Praise His name.
Hallelujah.
Praise His name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Isn't He wonderful? Just don't doubt. You say, but Brother Walden, I don't believe these things happen. They're not for you. They're not for you. That's the reason they don't happen. Sister, you believe God's heard your prayer over there tonight? You believe God's heard your prayer? Stand up and give Him glory. You right there wiping your eyes. Stand up and give Him glory.
Hallelujah.
Just praise Him. Thank Him for answering your prayer. Just thank Him for answering your prayer.
Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is just between you and God. So go on home and just thank God for answering your prayer.
Hallelujah.
Isn't the Lord wonderful?
Yes, Lord.
Isn't He wonderful? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. He's real. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God.
Yes.
Praise His name. You see, I wished I could believe, Brother Walden. I wished you could too. I wished you could believe too. I wished you could believe too.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise His name. He has no respect of person.
Praise God.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pray now.
Because
I can't do it if God doesn't show me. I'll stop when the anointing lifts. Whether it's one, or whether it's five, or whether it's ten, or how many is there. When God does what He wants, when He does, reaches those that's got faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He wonderful?
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. I love Him.
I
love Him. Because He
first
loved
me.
You believe God now? You believe He's here tonight?
Yes.
You believe He can heal you right where you're sitting at tonight?
Salvation.
You believe God can open up deaf ears right where you're at tonight?
Sure.
Do we have anybody here tonight with deaf ears? Got anybody here tonight with one ear deaf or both ears deaf? Anybody at all? You deaf in that ear? How long have you been deaf in it? Huh? Several years. You believe God's in this place? All right, stick your finger in your ear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cast out this deafness in this ear. I bind it through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen her, thy deafness in the ear, and speak the words of resurrection into that ear right now. Be healed. Take your finger out of your ear. Come down here.
Praise God.
Come down here.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise His name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is wonderful.
Yes, He is.
Just love Him. Just worship Him.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Turn around, sister, that away. Stick your finger in your good ear now. Just hold on to that now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my ear.
Raise your hands and praise Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I bind that deafness never to come back again. I bind it never to come back again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Let the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost always be there. And every nerve and everything, and you cannot... Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
Raise
you, Lord.
Your hands and praise Him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't He wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Who wouldn't want to serve a living God like that?
Amen.
Bless you, my sister. Go give Him all the glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who wouldn't want to serve a living God like
Thank
that?
You, Jesus.
Who wouldn't want to serve a living God like that?
God.
Praise His name.
Yes.
Let us all stand to our feet and worship God for a few moments. How many of you love Him tonight now?
I love you, Jesus.
How many of you know that He wants to fill every one of you with the Holy Ghost and fire of God? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. When the Spirit is moving like this, I don't have to call you out. I don't have to pick you out individually. Oh, my God. Somebody's being healed right now of a kidney condition. You have a kidney condition right now. God's healing you of it, see? Just believe Him for it.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
There's a man that's suffering with prostate gland trouble. Hallelujah. If you just believe God tonight, you can go home and be healed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to touch you. The healer is out there among you. The Holy Ghost is out there. It's because of your faith in Him.
Yes.
It's not Walden. It's Jesus.
Yes.
Give Him the glory. He's Hallelujah. The healer. It's His power.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
hallelujah.
God.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, yes.
I see in the Spirit there's a home. There's a home. That's not... It's in a dangerous place. It's on the rocks. There's a home. Someone here whose marriage is on the rocks tonight. You don't want this. That's not God's will. That's not God's will that this home be broken up. Listen to me now. You say nobody knows it. God knows it. Your pastor may not even know it. Your mother-in-law or your own family may not even know it. But it's there. You and your companion know it. It's on the rocks. You're having problems. There have been a few threats back and forwards. You know it's there. Jesus wants to put it on the rock tonight. Take it off of the rocks and put it on the rocks. If you and your companion are here together tonight, if you'll walk down here, I'll pray with you. If you'll come down here, I'll pray with you. You know I'm telling the truth. I saw it in the Spirit. I know what I'm talking about. If you don't want that home broken up, you better come down here. Right here. Stop. This is it. Shalabako ratarabako shandi yatadabako liyatarabako satarabako lanabahaya. Mondor yatarabako si tikalarabako shatarabahaya. Hararabako shandarabako liyatarabahaya. Hor yatarabahaya. Now Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through faith in His name and by the faith of God, I want you to know tonight that you have been defeated in this marriage. You will not break this home up. They will be united together as never before by the power of God and be sweethearts the rest of their lives.
Hallelujah.
Because the Holy Ghost, because of the... That is. Raise your hands and praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's it. Raise your hands and praise God. 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 Hallelujah. How blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you feel a need of refreshing of the Holy Ghost if you don't have the Holy Ghost? How many of you feel like you need the Holy Ghost tonight? Is anybody here that don't have the Holy Ghost tonight? Everybody don't have the Holy Ghost, move out of your seats and come down here. Everybody that needs a refreshing of the Holy Ghost, come down here. Let's have a right now in the altar. Let's come around this altar and worship God. Stand around the altar. You don't have to kneel. Just come down and stand. Come all the way up to the front here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Uriyararabahaya. Gloriyararabahaya. Wandararaboko shitalaraboko shantararabahaya. Gloriyatarabako shararaboko ratarabahaya. Gloria Ramahaya. Shara Raboko Rita Rabako Shanda Raboko Liara Rabahaya. Gloria Rabako Rita Rabasina Rabo Oria Rabahai Sada Rabakor Andara Rabokoli Ila Rabaka Sada Rabahaya. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is His name. Lord, forgive everybody of their sins. Baptize the believers. Heal all the people here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Holy, holy, holy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Just let the Lord do what you want Him to do. He's ready if you're ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just praise Him.
Just praise Him and thank Him for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah, oh, praise God for saving me. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all, I cannot tell it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, thank you tonight. Praise God, He has taken my sins away. Oh, He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how You set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how You set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank You, Jesus. God, we love You. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We thank You tonight for Your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.